You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Welcome to this bonus episode of Cinema Crespediso. How's it going? I'm your host, Chris Crespo, just hanging on the Crespediso Studio 4.0, doing our thing, getting ready to provide you with new bonus entertainment. This is a bonus episode. Bonus episode about the Rocky movies. In case you couldn't tell by the title of the episode, Crespediso Film School hyphen the Rocky Balboa series. I think that's what it's going to be called.
You think?
Yeah, that's what it's going to be called.
You sure?
Because it's hard. It's a tough one because it's the Rocky series. Not also has to include Creed, which is named Rocky.
Well, on IMDb, Creed is all, it's Creed, a.k.a. Creed hyphen Rocky's Legacy.
Rocky's Legacy? That's so stupid.
I'm just telling you what the IMDb tells me.
That must have been some old title that the IMDb. The thing to remember, Drew Sikogman, ladies and gentlemen, Drew Sikogman. How's it going, Drew? How you doing?
It's going.
It's going.
I'm here.
Good.
Talking.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. IMDb is, a lot of people take it very officially. It's the Wikipedia of movie websites for the internet. Like, it's all user edited, user content provided. You know, I mean, they have editors and people doing fact-checking and trying to take down all the fake stuff, but it's impossible, so any fucking jack-off can update that website, and for a quick minute, someone will think that there's a new, say, a new Halloween movie to be directed by Takeshi Miike.
Sweet.
That was a thing for a minute on IMDb. And then people are like, no, no, not happening.
Oh, that would be really weird.
It would be amazing. I would love to see it. But we're not here to talk about Takeshi Miike, or I don't know why I'm having
although,
or the Halloween.
Although we should do a Crespediso Film School on
Miike?
Yeah. Well, not on everything, just on the stuff that we've seen.
Stuff that we've seen.
Or stuff that other people
catch
have
it
seen.
Up. Give, yeah, I guess that's
because right. I've seen a lot of Miike, man.
That's on the list here. How about that, Drew? I'm adding it to the list.
Damn straight. See? Producer.
That's what a producer is supposed to do. Thank you. Appreciate it. Right under Psychology. Probably do it before Psychology because it'll take less work. God, it's going to be so much work. But we're doing a Rocky episode. All the Rocky movies. We're talking Rocky. Rocky 2. Correction. Rocky. Rocky II. Rocky III.
Rocky IV.
Rocky IV. That's the one where he's in the hospital. Rocky V. And then Rocky Balboa, they changed it. Rocky, B-A-L-B-O-A. I don't know what that's supposed to, what Roman numeral that is. It's a weird one. I don't know why they didn't just jump to six. But Rocky Balboa. And then we will include Creed in this conversation. We'll be talking about Creed at the end of the episode. So if you haven't seen Creed, spoiler alert, at the end of the episode, we'll be dropping Creed spoilers. So you have to stop listening before then. Or if you don't care about spoilers, then just keep listening. And we'll, you know. Like, Drew, don't say anything about Creed until we get to the Creed section.
Yeah, yeah.
All right? And then we'll announce, obviously, when we're starting, if people know if they need to pause it, go see Creed, and then come back and finish the episode. And if you haven't seen Creed yet, what are you waiting for?
Seriously, go see it.
Even Drew says go see it, okay? So, let's start at the beginning. Big Bang. Smash Cut 2.
1976.
Very good. Sylvester Stallone. Young actor, struggling actor, early 30s, came up with the first draft of the Rocky screenplay in 3.5 days. The writer thing where you lock yourself in a room somewhere and you don't come out until you have product.
Yes.
He did it in 3.5 days, the first script of Rocky. And that's the one that got the project rolling and got people interested, even though the final movie is pretty different from the original script. Like, for example, originally Rocky was supposed to be taking a dive at the end of the against Apollo. Mm-hmm. He was going to take a dive because it was more of a 70s anti-hero thing.
Yeah.
And he was like deciding, I'm done. I'm done with boxing. Man, good thing they didn't go that route.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, because
that'd have been the end right there.
That would have been the end right there. We would have got you know, a bunch of boxing movies of varying degrees of quality.
Correct.
And we'll talk about this in many of the Rocky movies. The what's happening to Rocky echoes what happens to Stallone. He takes from his personal life and puts a lot of that into Rocky, right? Yeah. So at the time, Stallone's in his early 30s, struggling actor, trying to get work. Even when he's selling the screenplay, and people are like, we like the screenplay, we like this project, we want to get it made, but we want a known actor to play Rocky. Yes. We want Dustin Hoffman to play Rocky.
Or whoever.
Yeah, fucking Stallone. Who are you? No one knows you. You had a bit part in Death Race 2000. Get the fuck out of here.
And you talk all weird and you got this thing.
You got this weird thing with your lip. Why are you talking like that so much? And he, I don't know how he did. He stuck to his guns. He fought for it. He fought for the project. He fought for the job and he got it. He got to be the star of the movie, changing his life
forever.
For fucking ever. Because this is the movie that, like, boom, put him on the map immediately. So he did eventually get the star in it. To direct it, they got this fellow, John G. Alvitson, who had done, at that point, he was kind of a journeyman director. He had some success with a bunch of movies. He was like pretty well regarded. No auteur or anything like that. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, his most successful movie and most popular movie is Rocky. And if you want an interesting double feature, watch Rocky and then watch The Karate Kid. Because it's the same director, John G. Alvitson.
Nice.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, these things actually...
They do kind of have a feel to them.
It's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird. So Alvitson does have a bit of a touch, I guess, that he brings to his projects because you can see in those two movies. But this is written by Sloan. And I should mention this. There was this thing, this whole thing where he saw Muhammad Ali fight this chubby white dude, Chuck Wepner. And everyone expected Ali to just school this guy. Wepner did lose. But
he went the distance.
Yeah, it was TKO in the 15th round. Surprising everyone. And at one point, he hit Ali, and Ali went down. Some debate as to whether he actually knocked him down or if he hit Ali, and Ali just kind of like slipped and fell. You know, he still put him on his butt. And, you know, so that obviously then was some... inspiration for Rocky and this whole thing where he's just a bum going up against a champ, no one gives him a shot, no one thinks he's any good, and then he ends up going the distance, right? Your main players, Stallone as Rocky.
Yes.
Talia Shire as Adrian.
Hey, Adrian.
She's the shy pet store worker that Stallone has a crush on.
Yep.
Lo and behold, that's what the whole movie is about. It's about Stallone and Adrian. It's about Rocky and Adrian.
Hey, yo, Adrian.
Hey, yo, Adrian. The movie... it's very interesting how one of the first things you see Rocky doing when he gets home, like after the opening credits, he gets home, he feeds his turtles, grabs his fish, like, hey, Moby Dick, you want to see him? That's right. And then he stands in the mirror, he looks himself in the mirror, and for a second he's holding turtle food, and he's like working on a bad joke so he can
try to impress
Adrian the next day at the a bad joke about the turtle food having too many moths. And it gets stuck in a frog's throat. And then it's weird because like he's starting to do that, but it's the first time you're watching a movie and you don't know that's what he's getting ready to do, he's just standing there talking about like, oh, there's too many moths. Oh, too many moths.
And you're like, all right.
What's this guy saying? These words in this order make no sense. And then he like sees a picture of his younger self, like a picture of him as a kid on the mirror, and it stops him and he just looks at it and he's all sad. You know, he's reflecting on like, oh, what, I'm a bum now. He looks at himself.
Hey, yo, I'm a bum.
It's a very, very sad moment.
You're a bum, Rock. You're a bum.
So it's the first time you're watching it, then it's like, this is...
Well, it's...
This movie's so arty and weird.
It is.
He's mumbling about moths.
It is.
Now he's like staring at himself.
It's a really... Surprisingly enough, Rocky, like when you think about Rocky, and when most people talk about Rocky, you're thinking about, you know, the boxing scenes and, you know, his whole life was a million to one shot,
yep.
You know, the run up the stairs.
Yep.
But underneath all that, there's this weird twisted, not twisted, but this strange love story about this boxer who's kind of socially awkward and,
yep.
and a bum, and
yep.
this totally. Other super shy, very socially awkward,
yes.
like waif of a woman.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Stallone, when he's talking to Paulie played by Burt Young, right? Adrian's brother, mm-hmm. abusive brother. No one likes him except Rocky because Rocky likes everyone.
Yep. Rocky's a nice guy.
Rocky's a nice guy. He even explains to, he's like, what do you see in my sister? Like, what's wrong? What do you see in her?
He's like, I don't know. I just think she's kind of cute.
You know? Yeah, well, no. Well, he says that they fill gaps. Specifically, is what he says. Is, I don't know. Well, I fill gaps. She fills gaps. We fill gaps. They just fit together. He helps her come out of her shell, like the turtles. Yeah. She is a nice grounding force for him and allows him to not be alone and just think his whole life is pathetic. I actually have something nice there to come home to. And that's what then the series, for the most part, is then about that relationship. In one way, shape, or form. And when they get away from that, things start slipping.
You can see it. Yeah, yeah.
It's very interesting.
Things get all boxy-y, and there's lots and lots of training sequences.
Yes. Like
montage crazy.
Crazy.
But that, I mean, half the reason why people make fun of montages these days is because of the Rocky series.
Because he does them so well. He does them so well and so often that it became the joke. Yeah. Except when it's done well again, and you're like, oh shit, that was a rousing fucking training montage. Like, I'm ready to go run up some stairs, or half a stairs. I'm ready to run up half a step.
All right.
I'm ready to walk towards some stairs and then stop and get a cheesesteak. Old Burgess Meredith, who at the time, when I was younger, I knew him more as the Penguin in the 60s Batman TV show.
Yeah. Wah, 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 wah.
Mm-hmm. Great.
You're a bum, Rock.
But now you're a bum. He's the old man. Oh shit. I forgot to take it out.
Juice to Cogburn versus Rocky. Juice to Cogburn versus Rocky. Rocky would whoop my ass.
Whoop everyone's ass.
Even old man Rocky would beat me up.
I mean, just play the sound. It is the Rocky thing. It would be a bummer if we didn't have a sparring round in the Rocky episode.
It's
Drew.
A bummer, Chris.
So I guess I'll just break out here. Oh, here we go. Oh no, that's the password to the Wi-Fi.
I see you don't have anything.
Hey, what's this? Rocky, you're real. I'm going to tell you the boxing name.
Are you serious? Let me, I just want to see the top of it. I want to know that you're actually, that's really what it's called.
Rocky, you're real. I give you the boxing name. You tell me if it's a real boxer or if it's a name that Stallone made up.
I love it.
It's a good game, right?
It is.
It's a good game. So, Rocky or real? Number one, Clubber Lang.
Rocky.
Correct. Number two, Donovan Razor Ruddock.
Real.
Correct. Number three, Kid Brooks.
Real.
That's Rocky. Number four, Spider Rico.
Rocky.
That's correct. Number five, Mason the Line Dixon.
Rocky.
That's correct. Number six, Tommy the Machine Gun. Gun with two N's.
That's Rocky too. That's Rocky as well.
That is correct. Not Rocky 2.
No,
correct.
That's, yeah. Rocky 5. No, Rocky 6. Rocky 5.
Rocky 5.
Rocky 5.
Number seven, Thomas Hitman Hearns.
Real.
That's correct. Number eight, Sugar Jackson.
Real.
That's Rocky. Number nine, Big Yank Ball.
Real.
That is Rocky. And number 10, Riddick Big Daddy. Boo. I should have done all like Michael Buffer.
I don't know. Rocky?
Oh, you're right. The first time is real. Wow. 1, 2, 3, 4. Actually, you did a little better than I thought you would. You know? I almost made them all Rocky names. But I was like, I'll throw a couple real ones in there. We had to have a sparring round for the Rocky one. So, yes. Yeah, and you're right. There is, behind all the boxing, this movie is all about the love story. And behind all that, or running side along with it, is this whole sense of melancholia. Rocky is such a bum. Mm-hmm. He is a bum. And but he's getting this one in a million shot. He gets a chance to go up against the champ and see what he's actually made of and prove to himself. I mean, fuck everyone else. Just prove to himself that he is something. Mm-hmm. He's not just a leg breaker working for... Tony Gazzo, played by Joe Spinell, the guy who wrote and directed Maniac from like 1980-81. Crazy.
Okay.
Crazy. You're an interesting dude. I think he was sort of connected in a way. Like, he knew that life that he was portraying in the movie.
Okay.
That mafia life. And he played a lot of roles like that, or cops. Crooks or cops, that kind of the Mark Wahlberg route. Oh, yeah. And there's a scene, like one of the first scenes you see him with. I actually think it is the first scene. He takes Rocky out and he yells at him for not following his instructions. And like halfway while during the middle of him yelling at him, he pulls out the asthma inhaler and he hits it and he puts it back and then he goes back to yelling. I was like, oh, that's a weird little character detail, a character touch. Yeah. Rocky's being yelled at by an asthmatic. Joe Spinell is an asthmatic, chronic asthmatic, lifelong. Okay. He pulled that inhaler out because he needed it in that moment. because he's always hitting that thing. Yeah. And it just
that worked.
Happy accident, you know? Yeah. It adds that weird little detail that works. But it's like, oh shit, the guy was just, you know, he's constantly in a state of dying. So Albertson did it. And then of course the great Carl Weathers as Apollo Creed, probably his best role. We're talking about a guy that was in Predator and motherfucker was Action Jackson. Mm-hmm. Well, Carl Weathers ain't no chump, and he's nails as Apollo Creed.
Oh yeah,
so good as Apollo Creed that he says, of course this is coming from Carl Weathers, so take it with a grain of salt, but he says three times since 76, since Rocky came out, he's come across Muhammad Ali in a public setting, and Muhammad Ali starts jabbering at him and like gets him to get up and like do a, you know, fake sparring. Like he loved Apollo Creed.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so Carl Weathers said, like, oh shit, please don't get, you know, I don't want to get
please don't hurt
out.
Me.
Yeah, in front of all these people. Fucking Muhammad Ali.
I mean, so good that character in one shape or form has continued throughout the series as well.
Yeah, interesting, right? Very strong character that they keep coming back to. Yeah, and he even got the role. Carl Weathers got the role because he showed up to read for the part, and they just told him, you're going to read with the writer. They didn't say the guy's name. They didn't mention that the writer was also the star.
Yeah.
They said, you're going to read with the writer. He was like, all right, no problem. So he does his lines or whatever. He does his audition, and then he was like, he wasn't feeling apparently that he nailed it like 100%, and he really wanted that role. So he started like yelling at the producers. So I was like, what is this? I could do better. Give me another round. Give me a person who can actually act. Give me an actor, and then I'll show you what I can really do. And then he's always like, you know, I could lead this movie. I could be Rocky, blah, 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 all this stuff. Why is it got to be about this guy? I should be the lead of your movie. And Stallone is just like, this is it. This is fucking Apollo Creed. This guy's amazing. So yeah, he insulted Stallone pretty much to his face, and then got the gig.
But unknowingly.
Unknowingly. Unwittingly, and then got the gig. Movie comes out, huge success, $225 million worldwide.
Yeah.
That's 1976 dollars too.
That's good money.
That's great money. On a $1 million budget, $1 million. That's a nothing.
Cha-ching.
It was more like $1,075,000. But I mean, come on. Right, we're splitting hairs at that point. Notable thing about this movie when it came out in 76, it was only the third movie to use the Steadicam. For people who don't know, that's when the cinematographer wears a rig, right? How do you describe it? It's like
It's a rig, but it...
Like a vest rig.
Instead of it being in your hand and that... Or being on your shoulder and making it shaky.
Yeah, because it moves because with you.
It's on a jib, but it's strapped kind of to a rig on your chest.
Yeah.
So it has more of a center of gravity, and it's more stable.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So they can move around sets and stuff. It was first used in that year in a Woody Guthrie biopic called Bound for Glory in one shot. And then it was used in Marathon Man the same year with Dustin Hoffman because he's doing a lot of like running and stuff. So they used it for that. And then in this movie, again, for running, they used it when like he's running up the steps. The dude was with the Steadicam running right next to him. And it's a nice, smooth shot. And you've mentioned it already in the show. It's an iconic shot. People think of it right away. The whole, he gets those steps, he's up and down with his arms in the air.
I mean, it's on the poster, right?
It's
there.
It's on the goddamn poster. We got the poster hanging up here.
I've been to those steps.
Have you been to the steps?
I was a kid, I went to Philadelphia.
I've been to Philly, but I don't know if I've ever been to those steps. I'm going to have to go to Mecca, pilgrimage, that shit. And then a couple things happened in the movie that, a lot like Joe Spinell having the asthma thing, and that ended up making the movie and being good. A couple things happened in the movie that is just... It's like, because of budget constraints and time issues and fuck-ups, this is the way we have to go. And it ends up working, right? So, like, there's a scene where, for the boxing stuff, Stallone, like, they did the huge banners that hung inside the, I think it was in the Spectrum. Mm-hmm. And there's one of Apollo in his red, white, and blue trunks. And then there's one of Rocky. in his red and white trunks, but they have the colors inverted, the red and white. They're backwards. And that was a real mistake. The prop department painted the goddamn shorts backwards.
Oops.
And they didn't have the time or the money to like repaint that shit. So Stallone had to write a scene where he's like walking around in the ring and he's just like, you know, checking out the night before. And the promoter comes in to see if he's okay. And he just points out, hey, you know, the banner's wrong. He's like, I'm wearing the other thing. And the promoter is like, it doesn't fucking matter. You're going to get knocked out. It doesn't matter. And then the night of the fight, like when he's there the next day, he has his robe. He gets his brand new robe, the red robe with the gold trim. And it's too big.
Nice.
Again, by accident, they really gave him a robe that's too big. And it looks silly. And they're like, we don't have time to get another fucking robe. We are here. We're doing this now. Like, the robe just got there on this that same day. So they had to write something on the spot about, you know, Rocky and Mickey, some quick dialogue. Like, this robe's too big. It's like, yeah, you know, what are you going to do? Some shit. So they had to, when you're working, making a $1 million movie, those are the type of things you have to
deal with.
Crazy shit happens. You work your way around it. Hopefully doesn't affect the movie negatively. Mm-hmm. And knock on wood, it could actually help, right? And then, of course, this is also important too, because this comes up later. There's a scene where Rocky gets in bed with Adrian, right? After they're together, and so at the end, it's like right before the fight, he gets in bed, and it's just one shot pushing in on him. There's no cuts or anything, and he has this monologue about how all he wants to do is go the distance. So that's how you have the barometer, right?
Yeah.
This guy is working so hard, all he wants to do, Apollo Creed. No one's ever gone a distance with Apollo Creed. It's like, if I can go a distance, that's good enough. I don't have to beat him. I don't got to be champion. I just got to know that I'm good enough.
Yeah.
To exist in this world as a human. I'm a human. And that they almost ran out of money and time. They had to shoot that in one night. The reason why there aren't no cuts and there is no coverage and it's just one take with the camera pushed in is because they didn't have the fucking time.
Go, go, go.
They were like, go, we got to do this. We got to do this now. If we don't get this tonight,
we don't get it.
It's not in the movie. And this, by the way, this is a scene where Rocky explains flat out, like, here's my goal. This is what's important to me right now. And if we don't get this, the movie's fucked. So they got it. And I think it works great because I love that style, the long takes and the slow camera pushing and all that stuff. It worked beautiful. It's well done. And obviously everyone liked the movie because it made a shit ton of money. Got a whole bunch of Oscar nominations. 10 Oscar nominations to be exact. Nominated for, but did not win. Stallone for actor and Talia Shire for best actress. And both Burt Young and Burgess Meredith were nominated for supporting actor. Both in the same
year. Nice.
Original screenplay for Stallone. Original song, Gonna Fly Now, right? That song? The main theme, as everyone knows it. And then nominated for sound mixing, but not sound editing.
Interesting.
It did win, however, for best film editing, best director, John G. Alvinson, and best picture.
Nice.
To, you know, the shock of some people, considering the other movies that came out in 1976 that were nominated, like Taxi Driver or Network. I mean, 76 was a crazy year for movies. And every movie that was nominated, like, any of them could have won, and it would have been cool. Just so
it was Rocky.
So happened to be Rocky, which was the most financially successful movie of the year. That's why there's always that argument. That's why The Martian is in talks for Best Picture, because it's the most successful of those movies.
Yeah.
Also, the Gonna Fly Now theme song, number one on the Billboard Hot 100 for 1 week. The first week of July in 1977.
Nice. Following year.
So that's how much Rocky invaded the culture and the zeitgeist. That's how much it got in there. Music, awards, money, it's all there. People loved it. People wanted more.
And so 3 years later,
Rocky II, 1979. And then, you know, there's Rocky I, obviously, is going to be the longer section. I think we'll get through these other ones a little quicker. Rocky II, 1979, written and directed by Sylvester Stallone. Not his first film directing, though. He had directed another movie a year before. It was called Paradise Alley.
Mm-hmm.
And between Rocky and Rocky II, he directed Paradise Alley, and he was in another movie called Fist, but it's an acronym, and it's like a 1930s labor strike, labor union type movie. And neither of those movies did very well.
Uh-huh.
And he found himself, like, he was a quick star with Rocky, then his next two movies were kind of like, little kind of dismissed. And he found himself like, well, what am I going to do? I guess I got to go back to... I mean, they were going to go back in because it made so much money. But it's like, I guess I got to go back to Rocky too. I got to go back to Rocky. So the plot of Rocky 2, what's it about? Rocky 2, he fights Apollo. It picks up right where Rocky 1 leaves off, right? He fights Apollo, goes a distance. He becomes an instant success. He tries other things. He tries being a spokesperson and just other jobs, and he can't do anything because he's a bum.
Yep.
He's still a bum.
He's still a bum.
And, you're a bum, Rock.
And he needs money. So instead of retiring for health reasons, he's like, no, I gotta fight. And the whole time, Apollo's like trying to egg him on for a rematch. So he takes the rematch so he can get the money and go back to being on top. So again, real life, the plot of Rocky 2, very similar to what was going on in Stallone's life at that time. And this is the movie in which Rocky and Adrian get married.
Yes.
It happens like 15 minutes into the movie.
Boom.
He proposes to her at a zoo, which is weird because in the first movie, the gangster, Gazzo, his driver and Rocky have a contentious relationship the whole time. And right, like the second scene that they're together, Gazzo's like, hey, I hear you're taking out, Adrian or whatever. Here's some money, blah, blah, blah. And then the driver is like, hey, Rocky, take her to the zoo. I hear retards love the zoo. And he's like, hey, you got to watch your mouth, you know. But then in the second movie, he takes her to the zoo. And he proposes there to her.
Yeah, well, retards love the zoo. He's a little bit of a waterhead.
They never get into it, right? I would imagine Rocky grew up in a single parent house from jump, probably in a very poor neighborhood. School was likely not emphasized with him growing up, right? In the, what would that be? The 40s? The late 40s, early 50s? Because he's about 30 in this movie. Maybe in the 50s he's a kid. Yeah, I think I would imagine Rocky was a street kid. He was a hood.
Okay.
You know? He was a dummy. But you're streetwise.
Yeah.
Right? That's how you didn't die.
And he could fight.
And he could fight. That's what it's saying. Because he was dumb. So this is one where we get married, get pregnant. But because of Rocky's decision to go back into the ring, despite doctors saying no, you know, that's not a good idea. That pushes, while Adrian's pregnant, it stresses her out. She ends up going on a premature labor. Kids born okay. But she goes into a coma. You know how that goes.
Yep.
All the moms go into comas every day.
All the time.
So Rocky's like, oh, I can't train until she gets out of the coma. And then she gets out of the coma and they say, all right, now I can go train. And he chases a chicken.
Yep.
Right?
Yes, he does.
And then he goes and fights Apollo and he wins. And he beats him. Now.
And he becomes the world champion.
And he becomes the world champion. And that's when he yells the Yo, Adrian, I did it line.
Hey, yo, Adrian.
Which that is mega popular too. But people forget. Like, I'm sure a lot of people assume that just happens in the first Rocky.
No, it's the second one.
It happened in the second.
Because he wins in the second one.
And because Adrian wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason Adrian wasn't there on site, she was watching on TV and he was talking to a microphone. That's why he said, I just want one thing to say, Yo, Adrian. Talia Shire couldn't be on set. For the boxing stuff. Mm-hmm. They wrote the character to be there and she couldn't be there. So she had a scheduling conflict. So they had to write around that, you know, with the whole thing with, oh, I'm going to talk into the microphone and address her. Mm-hmm. And then we'll cut to her in front of a TV watching everything, which they filmed then like months later when they finally got her back. So again, just like, you know, Rocky, we got to find our way around this. Mm-hmm. The scheduling problem. This was a huge moment. Now we got to find something else. Yo, Adrian did it. Ends up being crazy popular. $7 million budget. That budget jumped.
Always does.
From 1 to 7. And it's not even a bigger movie or anything.
Nope. it's just now.
People are getting paid.
Well, no, exactly. That comes, you know, when you're making a sequel to an Oscar-nominated film that won Best Director, you know.
With a star who was nominated for Best Actor and Best Screenplay.
Exactly. I guarantee you his both of his paychecks went up. His writer and director and actor paycheck.
Yeah, and probably producer.
Yeah.
Carl Weathers was like, I need more money, baby.
Yeah,
exactly. I saw how much this thing made.
Yeah.
You ain't got Rocky 2, you ain't got Apollo Creed.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I did want to point out, I should have said earlier, with Rocky, when he was nominated for Best Actor and Best Screenplay in the same year for the same movie, that has only happened twice before that. Orson Welles and Charlie Chaplin.
Wow. So he's a good company.
He's an amazing company. So if anyone ever wants to doubt Stallone's artistic credit or ability or whatever, just marinate on that for a minute. All right, here we go. So Rocky 2, $200 million worldwide gross. $200 million. So it went down a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But still, $200 million worldwide is a crazy amount of money. On a $7 million budget?
Yeah.
That's a crazy
good
amount
money.
Of money. And I like this movie. I like Rocky II. I always consider it to be the kind of forgotten Rocky sequel. Rockies 3 and 4 have more memorable elements to them.
Mm-hmm.
No one likes Rocky 5. Stallone doesn't even like Rocky 5. You know, and Rocky Balboa is pretty recent, but so as it being one of the more recent ones, you know, people remember it more. I feel like Rocky 2 slips through the cracks, and it's a little unfortunate because it's really good. It's well made. Mm-hmm. Rocky's a good director. He pulls out a couple interesting little directorial tricks.
Sylvester Stallone, you mean?
Yeah, no, right. This is probably the same guy. Bill Conti, he did the score again. But he redid a lot of this, like the same themes, but he redid them in a more funky, disco-y way.
Okay.
And it's actually pretty cool. And it makes for good listening. It's like, oh yeah, Saturday Night Fever is popular now.
Yeah.
we can funk this up just a little bit. But stylistically, it is very much, even though it's a different director, it's very much in the same style of the first Rocky, where... even with Rocky having achieved success in the beginning by beating Apollo Creed, there's still that touch of melancholia, especially when he starts losing all his work options, mm-hmm. and he finds himself going to Mickey and begging for a job just cleaning the gym.
Yeah.
You know? And he's like, you know, the guys in there see you as a hero. It'll break their hearts to see you carrying around buckets and towels.
He's like, I got no money.
And he's like, I gotta do it. He's about to cry. And then, as we mentioned, Rocky wins the championship at the end. Rocky III.
3 years later?
Only 3 years later, Rocky III. 1982. Good year, 1982. That was the year of The Thing and like 1,000 other movies.
And Mr. T being
Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Specifically in this movie.
Mr. T making his film debut, Drewster Cogburn, as Clubber Lang, mm-hmm. the big bad guy for Rocky III, also making a film debut. I'm pretty sure it was his movie debut.
Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan as Thunder Lips in the flesh, baby. which is, I love that scene. That's so great. Also, for Mr. T, this is the worldwide debut of I Pity the Fool.
I Pity the Fool.
Another thing that has gotten so deep into the culture, into pop culture.
Ridiculous,
that,
yeah.
I guarantee you, most of the people who say I Pity the Fool don't mm-hmm. know. Like, they know it comes from Mr. T.
They don't know it came from Rocky III.
Yeah, they probably think it's just a generic saying that
or
he
the
has.
A-Team.
Yes, they might say A-Team over Rocky III, exactly. It's a lot like with the Good and Bad, Good, Ben, the Ugly theme song. Mm-hmm. Wah, wah, wah. People know that's a Western, but they don't know what Western is from.
Yeah.
Now, the whole point of Rocky III is stated by Mickey early in the beginning. Because in Rocky III, the movie starts with a montage of him. Like, during the opening credits, he has 10 successful title defenses.
Yes.
The game that we did, that's where a lot of the names came from.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those random names.
Yeah, there was a treasure trove of random names. Like that, what was that, Kirk Lowball, Kirker Lawball Bill or some shit like that? And the whole point is that he got through these 10 title defenses, but Mickey reveals that they were actually kind of soft opponents that he handpicked just to protect his boy. And when Clubber Lang shows up, he's like, I want a title shot. He's like, no, this guy is going to kill you. He's because he's a real fucking fighter and yeah. he's young and he's hungry. And Mickey says to Rocky, the worst thing that could happen to a fighter happened to you. You got civilized. And this is kind of paralleling Stallone. At this point in his life, he is getting a little... He felt, anyway, he was getting a little softer because he was getting some more success
mm-hmm.
After Rocky II. He's getting back to making some money. He was getting ready to direct the Saturday Night Fever sequel, Staying Alive. I mean, he was like on top of the world, you mm-hmm. know? And then he's getting ready to come crashing down. He knows it. He's getting soft. That's Rocky. Rocky III. I found this fascinating. Rocky III, outside of the montage in the beginning, there are only 5 rounds of boxing.
Really?
In the entire movie.
Really?
Yes. Is that, you would think there's more, right?
I would.
Only 5 rounds, both of them between Stallone, or between Rocky and Clubber Lang, Stallone mm-hmm. and Mr. T. The first fight.
Two fights,
5 rounds.
Because he loses, and then he has to win it back.
And it's the only Rocky movie up until recently that shows the entire fights and doesn't like skip ahead to other rounds.
Yeah.
The first fight is when he fights Clubber Lang for the first time, and then like they have the like, altercation beforehand, and Mickey has the heart attack, and he dies right afterwards.
Yeah.
Again, it can't be a Rocky movie if it didn't have a touch of extreme sadness in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. Two rounds, knocked out at the end of the second round. He trains for the final fight for the rematch against Clubber Lang. Beats him in three rounds, knocks him out in the third round, which is... It's crazy. It's like, where'd all the boxing go? And then half that movie is training montage.
Yeah.
Training montage with him hooking up with Apollo Creed. Yep. Apollo Creed comes and gets him. It's like, hey.
He's like, yo, buddy, what up?
I can save you. What you need is, you got soft. You need to get hard again. Come down to my gym with my boys.
We'll get you hard.
We'll get you hard. We'll tough you up. We'll get you so hard that I'll be running down the beach in short shorts. And then when you finally beat me, we'll celebrate by splashing in the tide and hugging with our short shorts and belly shirts.
Yeah,
I mean, it's the most homoerotic thing ever.
It really is.
Of all the Rocky movies, it stands out as like, wow.
Well, it was 1982,
and they did love each other, and there's probably a lot of cocaine on set.
Yes.
Let me see what I got here. Oh, okay. Let me tell you about Stallone's regimen, because in that movie, more so than any other Rocky movie, he was like so shredded, ripped. This is pre, I think, HGH too. He just had a normal old steroids and stuff. But here's his regimen. He got his body fat percentage down to his all-time low of 2.8%.
Oh, wow.
And weighed 155 pounds.
Seriously? That's only 155? Man.
Yeah, it's 155. And he's 5'10". Man. He stated that he ate only 10 egg whites and a piece of toast a day, having a fruit every third day.
What?
His training consisted of, this is his typical day of training, a 2-mile jog in the morning, followed by 2 hours of weight training, a nap during the afternoon, right? 18 rounds of sparring, another weight training session, and then finishing the day with a swim. That's how he got to that shape. So, Drew, you could look like that.
Oh, totally. At 155? Yeah. At 155, yeah, I could.
You could totally look like that. You just have to follow the Rocky III diet. Dude, you'll follow the Rocky III diet. We'll film it. Next YouTube sensation. We'll make so much money selling that shit.
I do not have that kind of time to work that much.
Yeah, we're going to have to get investors. We're going to have to get investors to pay us salaries to develop this. We're going to have to get someone to pay you to get Rocky III ripped.
Yes. It's the only way it's going to happen.
All right, we'll get on that. We'll figure that out. This is also interesting too. Again, another crossover between the Rocky and Karate Kid universe. Joe Esposito wrote a song called "You're the Best," mm-hmm. as in "You're the best around.
Nothing's gonna ever keep you down."
Which is from the Karate Kid,
mm-hmm.
originally written for Rocky III.
But nice.
But then they end up going with Survivor's "Eye of the Tiger."
Yeah. Well. Bam.
Bam. Bam. Bam. Right.
Yeah,
which that ends up being the main theme of Rocky III. It was gonna fight now for Rocky I and II, Survivors, Eye of the Tiger. Rocky
yeah, III. Not to say, and that, I mean, I'm sure that did wonders for that song.
Oh yeah, and for Survivor, yeah, yeah, sure. Shit, they just had a commercial a couple years ago, right? A Geico commercial or something.
Still on right now, actually.
Is it?
Yeah.
Where's the money? Where's the money? Is the money? Is it made a $17 million budget? Take your budget for Rocky II.
Double it.
Add another $10 million. Grossing $270 million worldwide. More than Rocky I or II.
Mm-hmm.
More successful. So Rocky, Stallone, now more popular than ever. Thanks to this movie, which only had 5 rounds of boxing.
Yeah.
And it was mostly a training montage in the middle.
I pity the fool.
There's also Adrian is starting to take a backseat at this point.
Yes.
You know, there's scenes with her, and she goes from being the mousy, quiet introvert in the first Rocky to in Rocky III, she is now a strong enough woman that she can, like, throw down monologues on Rocky and, mm-hmm. and, like, tell him about his ass, you know? Like, this is you. Let me tell you about yourself, Rocky. So then she ends up being a motivating force in that movie. In Rocky IV, she kind of does the same thing. But it doesn't have the same effect.
No.
Rocky IV.
Rocky IV is a really weird movie.
Rocky IV is a weird movie for a number of reasons.
Although, one of the greatest training montages of them all.
Okay, I was saying Rocky III, like the middle of it is mostly training montage. Rocky IV is legit, like, It's a 90-minute... It's a fucking... First off, it's a 94-minute movie, the shortest of all the Rocky movies. And over that 94 minutes, I mean, 30 of them had to be montage.
Yeah.
Solid third of that film. Because there's like four fucking montages, right?
The Russian part in the montages are all crazy. It's all super high tech and...
Yeah. Which apparently... They,
lasers and drugs.
They did the thing where... the production designers did the thing where they went to like equipment... exercise equipment manufacturers. And they're like, let's see what you got coming down. Like, what are your prototypes? Where
oh,
your,
nice.
What are you experimenting with?
Yeah.
And they had...
all sorts of shit.
All sorts of shit in those scenes that Lundgren was using that wouldn't be available for consumer use for another 20 years.
Oh, wow.
Which is wild. Crazy wild shit.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Lundgren, right? They got this monster dude, this huge Swede.
Dolph.
To play Ivan Drago. Great name.
Yep.
Great name. Wyoming doubled for the Soviet Union. So people living in Wyoming, think about that. That's a hellhole you live in.
Yeah.
That
you live in Soviet America.
You live in a place that could be doubled for a horrible, horrible place to go cut down trees and be followed by the KGB.
Sweet.
That is weird. Stallone admitted fairly recently that Rocky IV really isn't about anything. That's why it's only 94 minutes and it's just about the boxing.
It's all about Carl Weathers dying.
Yes. Ivan Drago kills Apollo Creed in the beginning.
And then Rocky takes revenge.
Apparently, when he...
boxing revenge, though.
Okay, first off in that scene, right? Weathers versus Lundgren, like, for real. They did not like each other.
Yeah.
And there was a part where they were boxing, and Lundgren threw Weathers into the corner. And fucking Carl Weathers got pissed off, started yelling at him. He's like, fuck you. I'm not doing this shit. I'm out of here. Like, this guy is crazy. And Stallone had to get him to like calm down. He had to tell Dolph Lundgren to like ease up a bit, not be so aggressive. He had to tell Carl Weathers, like, come on, man, we're making a movie here. Yeah. And they ended up, you know, being able to work together, obviously, right? And then there's a part where Drago hits the final blow that kills Apollo.
Yeah.
And Apollo's like, oh shit, slow motion fall, and he hits the ground, and then he twitches a little bit. Apparently, the medic on set, when he saw Apollo hit the ground like that and twitch, he was like, oh shit, he really got hurt.
Oh. Convincing acting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He had to go cut and go acting, you know, jump up in the air. We're good. Excuse me. So yeah, some real animosity there between Creed and Drago, which is a lot of fun. Comes off well. But yeah, he kills him, and then Sloane's like, well, I didn't say I stopped the fight, so now I gotta be the guy to get revenge.
No, I gotta beat him in the ring.
Yeah, but first I have to have a driving montage. So he gets in his car and he drives around and music plays and he has like flashbacks to the day before.
And he has to do a training montage.
And then and then training montage, yes.
Yeah.
And then that's when Adrian's like, you can't go do it, Rock. He's like, I gotta do it. And she's like, okay, Rock. So he goes to the Soviet Union, like right away, with Paulie for some reason, because we need Paulie.
Yeah, well, you gotta have somebody there with him.
And Duke, the guy who was training Apollo. Because now Mickey's dead in the third one. They got Duke to train Rocky. That was a smart touch. But the training, anyway, just consists of him running up and down mountains and chopping down trees.
Yep.
Oh, you know what else is? Yeah, like you said, this is a weird Rocky movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only one of all of them to not have the word Rocky scroll across the screen in the very beginning. Mm. Like, the very first movie opens with, in huge letters, Rocky.
Yeah.
Stallone said, first time he saw the cut of the movie that had the opening credits and it said Rocky like that in huge letters on the screen and the big fanfares playing, he was like, oh my God, what are you doing? Like, this is a tiny little character film. You can't have this huge, grandiose opening for something so small. But of course, it ended up working out. And then they used it again for Rocky 2, Rocky 3, but not for Rocky 4. So weird. Also, different from all the Rocky films, for most of them, Bill Conti did not do the score because he was busy, again, with the crossover, working on the scores for Karate Kid and Karate Kid 2 at the same time.
Yeah, there we go.
Because those came out in 84 and 86, and this is, Rocky 4 is 85. So, I don't know why he was working on, he's been working on, oh, because they were working on Rocky 4, they're producing 84. Same time they're doing Karate Kid. Mm. So he couldn't do it. So they got this guy, Vince DiCola, and he went way more of the time with the pop music and doesn't even have the Gonna Fly Now theme in there or nothing. It's weird.
It's a weird Rocky movie.
It's a weird Rocky movie. And then he goes to the Soviet Union and he fights Ivan Drago.
And he gets trapped in the American flag after
and he wraps himself in the American flag and he gets on the mic and it's like, if I can change and you can change, maybe we can all change. And then the Russian Politburo gives him a standing ovation and the movie's over. It makes
no sense.
No fucking sense. And yet it is fun to watch.
Mm. The fighting's good.
The fighting's good. Well, I mean, at this point, Stallone's directed 3 of the 4 Rocky movies. He's starred in all of them. He knows a thing or two about staging a fight scene, a boxing match, you know? He now has practical, real-world experience in doing this. So all that has been distilled into Rocky IV, where it's fucking pretty explosive. There was a part where they were doing some close-ups of Stallone and Lundgren actually hitting each other. So they can insert them in right parts during the final boxing sequence, which took 8 months to to edit. Not to film, but to edit.
Wow.
8 months to edit that shit. So they did a couple shots, like 3 takes of Dolph Lundgren popping Stallone right in the sternum, like a chest shot. Boom. Mm-hmm. 3 times. And then they filmed a little more. And then I don't know if it happened on set or later, but that same day, Stallone started complaining of having breathing problems, breathing issues. They took him to a doctor. Turns out, like a sac right around his heart area got all swollen. Ooh. His sternum pushed into his heart, bruised his heart. It got swollen. So that's why he was having trouble breathing. His blood pressure went up to 200.
Wow.
They had to fly him in a low-altitude plane to a hospital where he checked in for it. I saw one say 4 days. I saw another thing say 8 days. So for 4 to 8 days in the hospital being monitored, get his blood pressure down, get his heart healed. And it was all because he let Dolph Lundgren punch him.
Good job, Dolph.
And then when he filed for insurance, the insurance adjusters or whatever, the scrutinizers, they looked at the medical reports and they're like, this can't be from a boxing thing. This can't be from fighting. The damage we see done to you is the damage equivalent of a person getting in a car wreck and the steering wheel slamming into their chest. Yeah, well, that's what we're looking at.
That's how hard Dolph Lundgren punches.
And then Sloan said, have you seen Dolph Lundgren? This is the man who punched me. And then they're like, okay, here's your money. They're going to deny the man his money. Fucking insurance companies. That's ridiculous. And then $28 million budget. The movie is incredibly watchable, which is why it grossed $300 million worldwide. Mm. Highest grossing sports film until 2009 when The Blind Side came out.
Wow.
Yeah. So for the longest time, Rocky IV, highest grossing sports film of them all. Slightly longer break than normal. 5 years later. Rocky V, 1990. Intended to be the end of the series.
Yeah. Well, you could tell.
You can tell. The way they did it, with the certain things they did, Rocky loses all his money, goes back to the old neighborhood. Adrian gets her old job back at the fucking pet store, which is, makes no sense.
Right back where we started.
Right back where you started. And then again, real life influence. And that's another thing with Rocky IV. It's not about anything. There's nothing going on in Stallone's life that he wrote into that movie. It was just Cold War stuff.
Yeah.
You know, xenophobic, weird Reagan bullshit. But in Rocky V, by the time 1990 came around, he had, again, like, fallen off the map a bit. Movies like Tango and Cash and Lockdown and stuff like that weren't doing too well, not too critically well received.
They were fucking awful movies.
Not very good. So that's why he wrote the Fall from Grace thing for Rocky. He loses his money. He can't fight anymore because of brain damage from the Ivan Drago match. So he has to go back to the old neighborhood and, you know, send his son to the public school. And it's embarrassing.
Yep.
It's embarrassing for everyone to have to go to public school. They even brought back director John G. Alvinson.
Yeah. He couldn't even save this piece of shit.
He couldn't even save it. He was able to make it look like the first movie a little bit, but he couldn't make it any good because the screenplay sucked.
It didn't have the feel.
Yeah.
And Tommy Gunn was a ridiculous character.
Tommy the Gun Morrison?
Yeah.
Tommy the Machine Gun, as a matter of fact. Tommy Machine Gun Morrison is his boxing name.
Sure.
It wasn't... He was the surrogate son character, which is weird. It's a weird story. Rocky, like, ignores his son to train another guy, and then his son becomes a dickbag, and I don't know. It's not a fun movie to watch. And then the original plan for this one was to have him die at the end. Like, instead of a boxing match, it ends with him having a street fight with mm-hmm. Tommy Morrison and Tommy Gunn. And it was supposed to end with him dying. And then, you know, partway through, someone was like, that is the worst idea.
Serious. I mean, it's got that Rocky hint of awfulness, but wow, what a drag.
Yeah, don't do it. Yeah, exactly. Like, you want to end this on a real bummer, mm-hmm. like a fucking bummer? That's the way to do it. Rocky's supposed to be sad, but he's not supposed to make everyone sad. This is weird. And then Stallone claims to have not noticed this until like 10 years ago, which I don't buy it, but you never know. Maybe he is kind of a dopey guy. So Rocky, like Rocky 1 and 2, right? Rocky 2 starts off exactly where Rocky 1 ends.
Mm-hmm.
The fight is just over and they're getting in the ambulance and they're going to the hospital that same night. Rocky 4, when that ends, like Rocky 5, when Rocky 5 starts, it starts with, at the end of that fight, Stallone is in the shower. Rocky's in the shower and he's complains to Adrian about how he can't make his hand stop shaking and he just wants to go home. Very, very sad way to start this. Very sad bummer of a movie. And so they go home immediately. It's immediate, right? Okay, so how come at the end of Rocky 4, stage Stallone, who's playing Rocky's son, he's 9 years old, he comes home.
And he's how old?
His son's 14 years old.
Yeah. Boom.
It's like, what? You aged 5 years since I was gone training and fighting.
Yes.
Nobody noticed. No one said nothing at any time ever.
Nobody ever noticed. Nobody cares.
I think no one cared at the time. I think Stallone was like, it's cool. No one gives a fuck. We'll just do it.
It's fine.
It's fine. We'll do it. But it is weird. It's weird shit. Also, the only Rocky movie to be PG-13. All the other ones are PG. Well, except for that Creed. So that's weird. A budget of $42 million. Biggest budget yet.
And brought in
$120 million worldwide. So not a bomb, but not nowhere near the $300 million of Rocky IV.
Yeah.
Right? More proof of Stallone's diminishing returns at that time.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have a real box office hit again until Cliffhanger in 94.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, it was like, oof. Rough sailing for a while for old Stallone. Terry Funk, wrestler Terry Funk.
Yes.
Choreographed the fight, the street fight that
Stallone. Well, the street fight,
yeah. He choreographed that.
Dude, Terry Funk knows about a street fighter he too, does. I'm sure.
He does. I think he did Street Fighting They Live. He's like, they're like, we want that They Live style street fighting. You know, the type that just goes on forever and ever and ever. That's what we're going to do. So Rocky V came out. No one liked it. Not even Stallone likes it. I saw this thing online where like someone was in an interview like in 2006. Leading up to Rocky Balboa, and they asked him to rank the, on a scale of 1 to 10, rate the first 5 Rocky movies. I don't remember what the first one was. It must have been super high. The second one was like 7 or 7.5. The third one was like 7.5. The fourth one was like 7. He ranked them all around the same, mm-hmm. kind of high, with varying degrees. They got to Rocky 5, he gave it a 0.
He's like, yeah.
He's like, fuck that movie. I don't know what any of us were thinking, but it turned out horrible. Which is why, almost immediately, starting as early as 96, Stallone started pitching Rocky Balboa around town. He's like, I gotta find a way to fix that.
Well, he had to wait till 2006 for it to finally come out.
And he had to wait because the reason he finally got traction on that was one of those studio changes in management.
Well, that and, you know, the whole George Foreman thing, kind of.
Well, the Foreman thing happened in 94. 495. That's what it inspired him to write the original thing, which would have been at that time Rocky in his 40s, making a comeback, which is what Foreman just did, so it would have been much more believable. By the time he got the movie made, he's in his 50s, late 50s, so Rocky has to be in his 50s.
But he's on that HGH.
So thank God. Thank God. He did have to train for like 6 months, but still, thank God for HGH. Well, what happened was, I forgot which studio it was, but and one of the smaller ones too, like New Line Regency or some shit like that. They new boss in town, you know, new management up top, and then they're like, "No, we like your idea for bringing back Rocky. We think it's a good time to do it." And then that's how he ended up finally getting it going,
mm-hmm.
with a budget of $24 million. So we got a budget comparable to some of the sequels. Let me see. Well, Rocky 3 had the $17 million budget, something like that. Rocky 4, we just talked about this. He's right here. Anyway. $24 million budget ended up making $155 million worldwide, which is seen as a success because people were thinking this movie was going to flop.
Yeah.
People were scared of this one. They had no idea how people were going to take to the idea of a Rocky movie featuring an old Stallone, an old Rocky trying to come back.
I mean, it wasn't a bad movie. It went back to the roots.
It went back to, yes, the real life. Much like how the first Rocky, he wrote it while he was a struggling actor trying to make it big. He needed that 1 in a million shot just to prove that he could do it.
Yeah.
Rocky Balboa was about him being like, look, a lot of people have written me off. They think I can't do this anymore, but I feel like I can still at least turn one more of these out and do it in a way that people like. And you can feel that. You can feel, again, that melancholy comes through, that real world sadness of where he's at comes through. But coupled with that Rocky Balboa meathead philosopher thing that he does, mm-hmm. you know, Rocky is the type of character that looks at life and he's like, he recognizes it for what it is, you know.
Yeah.
He sees the hardships and he sees the struggles, he knows what's up, he knows his limitations, and he's like, you know what, I'm still gonna do my best.
Yeah.
Because
that's all I can do,
that's all we can do, and the only thing that's stopping me from doing my best is me. That's a huge theme of all the movies, which is why they emphasize in the latest one, you know, you are your biggest enemy. You're holding yourself back. You got to be the best you can be. Very Tony Robbins of Rocky. And then also taken from real life, a little bit of real life inspiration. Maybe more of just a way to help justify what happens in those plot-wise. But in the 70s, someone put together a computer simulation of Muhammad Ali and Rocky Marciano. And it wasn't like a computer simulation like you see in Rocky Balboa, where you see two versions going at each other. You know, it's more like an algorithm type thing.
Mm-hmm.
But someone ran a computer simulation of what would happen if these two titans from two different boxing eras fought each other. Who would win? And every possible scenario is considered. And
Rocky Balboa wins.
I'm talking about Ali versus Ali versus Marciano. The computer decided that Marciano would win in the 13th round.
Interesting.
Muhammad Ali, someone told Muhammad Ali that the computer said Marciano would win, and Ali said, that computer was made in Alabama. Which is awesome. So yes, they used that to show the champion at the time, Mason the Lion Dixon, played by actual WBC heavyweight champion at the time, Antonio Tarver. Mason the Lion Dixon versus Rocky Balboa, who would win? And it says Balboa would win. And people are like, oh, look, you got the promoter show up. People are talking about the simulation. They really want to see it. So it's an exhibition fight that they have, not for the title, right? Drop the stakes of it.
Good thing, too.
Very good thing, yes. Because then you have to explain why Tarver didn't like to show and murder the dude, you know, because he shows up a little out of shape on purpose to show that he didn't take Balboa all that seriously, which then ended up being a problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
That fight's an exhibition. Rocky 5 ended with the street fight.
Street fight, yeah.
Rocky 4, the fight against Ivan Drago, neither of them were champion. It was an unsanctioned fight in Russia. So Rocky 1, 2, and 3 are the only ones that have Rocky actually fighting for the title. From 4, 5 on, he's not fighting for the title anymore. He's fighting for different reasons. This one he's just fighting just to prove that he can still do it, that he's not...
That he can still fight.
That he's not totally washed up. That he still has something in the basement, right? And then one of the smarter things they did with filming the Rocky stuff at the end, the fight stuff at the end, they invaded a pay-per-view event. Nice. An actual fight. They went to, let me see, what was this? Bernard Hopkins versus Jermaine Taylor at the Mandalay Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Actual pay-per-view that was happening. So they got crowd shots.
Mm-hmm.
From the actual fighting, which Stallone was in the crowd for, like pretty close to the ring. And then they used those crowd shots for a lot of, like, they filmed some stuff in the ring there in front of the crowd, and then they filmed stuff in a ring in a studio with the blue or green screens.
Yeah.
And then they put the crowd in later, right?
Can you see Stallone?
Yeah, you should be able to
see Stallone. Is he watching himself fight?
He's watching himself. Yeah, should
That's
be.
Pretty awesome.
That's pretty funny. So, hey, look at me. I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good for being an old man. So they show up, they piggybacked on it, and then they didn't know. There was a real crowd, real people. They're all like actually drunk. You know, you don't know how these people are actually going to react, right? So they get ready to film Rocky Sloan as Rocky in his robe going down the ring to get ready for the match. And they're like, shit, like, we're not giving these people instructions.
Just let them do whatever they do. Just let them do
whatever they do. Hopefully this won't be embarrassing and we'll have to like ADR everything later, you know, take all this audio out because they're just jeering and laughing at Stallone. But he came out and everyone fucking started cheering like crazy, broke out into a Rocky chant. They loved him immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately they loved him.
They were in on that shit.
They were in on it. They just did it on their own. And then when they went in the ring, Tarver and Sloan, and filmed a couple stuff in front of the actual crowd. And they this fight, more than any other one, they had the two of them like went at it. Like a lot of, when you watch the fight, there's a lot of body blows between the two of them. They're not hitting each other in the head too much. But they do it because they really felt comfortable enough to go at each other like that and really hit each other. And then the crowd reacts to that. They're like, oh shit, yeah, look at these guys going, you know, they're actually doing it. It comes across well. They also, which is very surprising, of all the first six Rocky movies, of any boxing movie, this is the first boxing movie to use actual boxing, punching sound effects in the boxing match.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Like, when, for some reason, I don't know why anyone didn't think of this earlier. For some reason, all the Foley people were like hitting wet leather with a bat or smacking a chicken or doing all these gunshots were being used and broken bottles.
Just punch somebody.
Yeah. They're like, how about the audio of a dude with a glove punching someone? Maybe we'll use that. So they actually used it. And not only did they have the accoutrement of the pay-per-view event and they were able to piggyback off that, but then they got the HBO crew, the HBO Fight Night crew. They got the commentators to do the dialogue.
Do
their thing. They got the HD cameras. So when you're watching a movie, it goes from 35mm to HD TV and it gives you that like, oh shit. Like this is real. This is what it would be like if this really happened right now in front of us. We were watching this on TV. This is how it would be treated. And then partway through the fight, when it gets to the first two rounds are in the style of HBO pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And then it does the thing where the rest of the fight is a montage and there's music and, you know, editing. And it's all well done. It's all good stuff. Also, it's the first movie Stallone directed since Rocky IV. In 1985. 21 year gap between Rocky movies for this guy. Between direct movies, period, and their Rocky movies. And I mentioned this on the show before. I remember seeing Rocky Balboa in a theater where there weren't many people in there, but there were a few like older dudes that were by themselves, like separated from each other. Mm-hmm. And during the final fight, we were sitting behind them and they were visibly like cheering on Rocky. And they're like, yeah, get him. You know, they're like actually, they were actually into the fight. So they were in. That's how you know the movie works.
Hell yeah.
And then that was supposed to be it. That was supposed to be the end of the Rocky Balboa saga. Considering that it made decent money and the critics actually liked it. It's the best reviewed Rocky movie since like Rocky 1 maybe.
Yeah.
Stone was like, oh, well, thank God I did it. I gave the character the send off that I wanted to give him. The first Rocky starts with a fade in of the face of Jesus in a church.
Mm-hmm.
The last Rocky ends with a fade out of Stallone walking away from Adrian's grave, and it's a fade out to white.
Yeah.
As if he's ascending into heaven. Jesus has come. He fought for our sins. He's going to heaven. It's all good. The Rocky series is over.
Until...
Dun, dun. All right, folks. I'm going to be talking about Creed. So if you don't want to hear about them Creed spoilers, now's the time to shut off the show. Pause it. Save it. Go see Creed tonight, or maybe tomorrow, and then because it might be a little too late, and then come back and finish to hear what we're going to talk about, because we're going to get into some spoilers here. Creed, Ryan Coogler, director of Fruitvale Station, he grew up watching Rocky movies with his dad, like a lot of people.
Yeah.
Very sentimental, you know, typical story. He came up with the idea of a spinoff movie following Apollo Creed's son. He went to Sloan. He got a meeting with Sloan somehow. Got to him, was like, all right, this is what I really want to do. But at that time, he hadn't directed anything. Like, he had some short films and stuff.
Yeah.
But he was still kind of fresh out of school. Stone was like, you know, Rocky Balboa was received well. Yeah. I'm very happy with it. I think that's a nice way to close it. I appreciate it.
Thanks, but
no
thanks.
Exactly. Thanks, but no thanks. And Coogler was like, all right, you know, he hooked up with Michael B. Jordan. They did Fruitvale Station. Got a lot of praise, a lot of heat. he got Fruit Ball Station in front of Stallone. Stallone watched it. Was like, oh, this guy has got the goods.
Yeah.
It's like, this guy wants to make another Rocky movie, but, you know, he has his own take on it. All right, let's do another meeting with this guy. They get together. This time around, he convinces them, this is the direction that I want to go in. This is the type of movie I want to make. You're going to be in the Mickey character, but it's going to be all about Adonis Creed, the son played by Michael B. Jordan. So it's like, I'm in. Boom. Made the movie, right? Which I don't have any. I didn't have because it's a fresh movie. I don't have any information for it whatsoever. I just want to talk about how we actually saw it, right? And how awesome it was. I knew about that. Oh, shit. You know what? Damn it. Let me see if I can find this. Show this to Drew.
What?
In the final fight, mm-hmm. Adonis Creed jumping straight to the end of Creed. The final fight when he fights Pretty Ricky Colin, played by Tony Bellew, I think his name is Tony the Bomber Bellew. Guy's nickname is the Bomber. That's how hard he fucking hits in real life, right? They have an incredible match that goes the distance at the end, mirroring Rocky.
Yeah,
a lot of what happens in Creed mirrors Rocky.
It really does.
He's just. Kind of a no-name. Well, not that he's a no-name. He's a nobody, but with a name. So a little different there. But at one point, he's in bed with his girl, Bianca, right? And he's like, I just want to go the distance. I just want to go the distance. I just want to prove that I'm not a fake Creed.
That I can do it,
I can do it, that I'm worthy of having this name. And just like, you know, Rocky telling Adrian what's up. And then at the end of the movie, he goes a distance, but he doesn't win. Loses by split decision.
Just like in Rocky.
But it's still satisfying because he doesn't have to win. He just had to get to a certain point for us to be like, that's a
success. He just had to make it.
He just had to make it. He just had to prove that he had the goods. And he totally did. But during that fight, at one point, it's like, you know, here's a couple rounds. We're telling a story about how Colin doesn't respect Creed. Creed is in trouble in the first round, but he comes back towards the end of the second round, right? And all that back and forth and shit. And then it's like montage. Fighting.
Somebody's down. Somebody's up. Oh! Yeah. Conley knocked down for the first time in his career!
Well, that doesn't happen until the very, very end, right? But there is that part where... Where is that? That looks a little weird. There is that part where Creed gets hit. And it cuts a slow motion.
Doom.
Michael B. Jordan, boom. And it's like, it looks like he really gets hit.
Yeah.
And he's falling slow-mo and he hits the ground. It's like, oh.
It looks like he really got knocked out.
It's like, how do they do that, you know? Stallone tweeted today a 9-second clip from inside the ring.
He really knocked him out, didn't he?
Just go ahead and hit play on this. And yeah, just listen, watch that.
Yeah, he actually swung his head into it.
Yeah, they timed it out. He's like,
one, two, three, and I'm out.
He's swinging into it.
I knew it, dude. I told you it looked like he really got knocked out.
It does. He's so good.
He took one for the team.
He did take one for the team, and then he bounces a little bit. Like, it's almost imperceptible when he hits the ground, but in slow motion, it's like, boom. And like, he comes up off the mat and boom. Yeah, hits twice. Boom. He's kissing the mat.
Yep. That's
it.
Awesome.
I'm gonna watch it one more time. Well. He's not even swinging that hard. Nope. It's just momentum.
Because he was going towards it, and he was going the other way. Like they
and it was just a little bit of momentum, just a half punch. But it hit his face hard enough that it whipped it back and forth, and it looks brutal in slow mo.
It looks really good. It was a great shot.
I would hate to get punched by that Tony Bellew guy.
Yeah.
By the Bomber. By Pretty. Oh my God.
He's like, dude, just knock him out. I got this.
I got this. Like, no. Please don't. And then I saw an interview with him on some UK show called it was like Soccer AM or something like that, right? And they brought him out and they were talking about his favorite team for a bit. And then this is really funny. They're like, so let's show a trailer for Creed. And they put on like part of the Creed trailer that you don't even see any of the dude in it. It's all, you know, because he's a small character. And when it's done, it's like three hosts, like two dudes and a lady. The dude's like, that looks quality. Which I'm like, that's awesome. That's a great way to describe something. It looks quality.
Quality, bro.
Quality. Tell us about Creed. Without any spoilers, tell us about Creed. And he says, well, I play a guy called Pretty Ricky Colin. I didn't choose a name. And it's going to be great. You know, we got Michael B. Jordan and Stallone. And it's going to be awesome. Like, he just said who his character name was.
Yep.
Like, what's the movie about? Well, I play this guy. I don't even think he knew whatever the movie was really about. He's like, I just showed up.
Whooped up on Michael B. Jordan. Call it a day.
I beat up on this dude. He called him MBJ. He's like, I beat up on MBJ. He's, you know, pretty boy. I had to knock him out. Some shit like that. But he says that he, like, he showed up and they worked on some, like, they already had a fight choreographer who had some stuff worked out with Michael B. Jordan. And then he showed up. He learned that stuff and then he came up with his own stuff on the spot.
Yeah.
And they incorporated all that stuff together, very collaborative process. And then, after a while, Stallone showed up on set, and his words were, it was like Caesar showing up in Rome. He's like, dude's here, all right? What's he got to say? And then he brought everything home. And I saw also on YouTube, there's a 9-minute B-roll clip from behind the scenes, mm-hmm. and it's mostly silent, no sound. And it's a lot of, like, Stallone sitting on the edge of the ring and, like, Coogler, like, talking down to him and then talking, like, what about this, what about that, you know, working together and all that stuff. It's pretty cool seeing Coogler doing his thing, but also Stallone being there and helping out and stuff.
Well, I mean, he's holding on to the, he's taking the reins of the franchise. I'm sure he just wants to make sure that it gets done properly.
Right, and I did it.
Yeah.
He did it,
man. It's awesome.
That fight, that one that's the 2-round, 1-take. Is
so good.
Crazy. It's like, how did they do this? That was Stallone's first day on set, too. How nerve-wracking. It's like, we're going to do this in front of Rocky himself.
We're fucking doing it. We're doing it now.
On his first day shooting.
We're getting it done.
And they shot that in front of, 300 people, yeah. Right? In a little hall somewhere. And they said it took them 10 minutes to calm everyone down when Stallone showed up for the first time. Like, he got up to the ring and he waved and people just went fucking apeshit.
I'm sure.
For 10 minutes. People love the guy. They love the guy. They love that character. Apparently, Creed is doing incredible box office business in Philadelphia.
I'm sure.
Like, crazy money in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's very respectful of Philadelphia.
Yeah.
You know, the cheesesteaks and the steps. And the music. A lot of the music that they play in the movie is Philadelphia artists and stuff.
Yeah, and just the people around.
Just the people themselves. And the use of the word John, which has to be Philly only.
Yeah.
Never heard that. Like, I don't listen to enough hip-hop, I guess. I know what a John is, but apparently now I know what a John is. A John is whatever you want. I can drink some of this John right here.
Yeah, you have fun with that.
If you guys are enjoying this John of a podcast, it's like, how do they do it now?
It's slang, man.
It's that slang, yo. Yeah, it's a great movie, man.
It is. I agree. Really, people should see it.
Really great people should see it. And it's making okay money, but it should be doing better.
Mm.
It really should be. That's the way it is with most really good movies, especially of like a commercial nature, the mainstream nature that you think people should just be going and seeing. Like, how do you go see all this other shit?
Yeah.
Go see Creed. It's good. It's good stuff. I'm trying to think. Anything else we should mention about Creed? Anything else you want to mention about Creed? Anything that stood out to you besides the boxing?
I mean, the boxing was great.
Boxing's great.
It felt like a fresh take on the Rocky story. I mean, it was the beginning. All over again.
A new beginning.
Yeah. Just with Rocky as Mickey.
Rocky as Mickey. As a dying Mickey.
Yeah.
As a cancer-ridden Mickey. Yeah.
I really wanted them to call Adonis a bum at least once.
Don't be a bum. They say don't be a bum.
Hey, yo, don't be a bum.
Don't be a bum. I'm a bum. You don't got to be a bum.
I'm a bum. You're not a bum.
You're not a bum. They're all bums. These are the bums in the street. Give them a dollar. They need help.
Yeah, that's really about it.
Yeah, fantastic movie. All right, so real quick. To end it out here, how would you rank the 7 Rocky movies if you had to do it? If you had a Tony the, I think it's Tony the Bomber Baloo.
All right, I'm gonna
gun to your head.
I'm gonna go.
About to punch you in the grill.
I'm gonna go one Rocky.
Rocky.
Rocky 2.
Okay.
Creed.
Okay.
Rocky 3. Rocky 4. Rocky 5. No. Hang on. Rocky. Actually, it's going to be Rocky, Rocky 2, Creed, Rocky Balboa, and then just go down the line.
And then 3, 4, 5.
Correct.
Rocky, Rocky 2, Creed, Rocky Balboa.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty close to mine. I would go Rocky. It's tough because it's so fresh. It's so very fresh. At this point, I'm going to go. It might change down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Rocky. Rocky Balboa. I think that makes an amazing double feature, actually. Creed. Rocky 2. And then
3, 4, 5.
3, 4, 5.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Because 3 is so much fun.
It is.
And 4 is pretty cool. It's dumb. It's not about anything, but it's pretty cool.
No, but and 5 is just so.
And no one likes 5. The precipitous drop in quality is unbelievable.
So yeah, there we go.
So there you go, folks. I hope you learned a little bit about the Rocky series. I learned a little bit researching some of this stuff, and I love these movies. I love them all. So that's it. Thank you, Drew.
Very welcome, sir.
Where can people find you online?
At Antihero419 all over the interwebs.
Hit me up on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo. Hope the show at Crespediso on Twitter. Or follow us on Facebook at Cinema Crespediso. All right, people, go see Creed and also just PG-13, but also support R-rated movies as well. And make sure you take your money out of the banks, or at least the man that they get broken up. Hashtag resign Rom. Fuck that dude. And be excellent to each other. We're out of here.